streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The election is 2 weeks from today, but says ABC's Perry Russum,
early voting is underway in nearly every state. Lines wrapping around polling places in Connecticut, Texas, and South Carolina. One survey finds 47% of early votes have been cast by Democrats, 33% by Republicans.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in Israel, once again trying to revive ceasefire talks now that Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar has been killed. The NTSB will be back on scene today trying to figure out why a helicopter crashed into a radio tower in Houston on Sunday night. All four people on board the chopper were killed. Disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. He's receiving treatment while in jail on multiple sex crimes. His New York conviction recently overturned on appeal. Tropical storm Oscar heading toward the Bahamas after dumping heavy rain across Cuba. The storm hitting after a massive power outage knocked the entire country into the dark. This is ABC News. A day after the New York Liberty won the team's first ever WNBA title, the Players Union deciding to opt out of its contract with the league. They plan to push for better pay and better training facilities. Your drive into work this morning won't cost quite as much. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
In the past week, as the weather has stabilized a bit in the Gulf of Mexico, the price of regular unleaded has also evened out. Last week, it went up after Hurricanes Helene and Milton. Now, the Energy Department reports the price of regular unleaded has come back down 3 cents to $3.14 a gallon, about 39 cents less than a year ago at this time. The Gulf Coast has the cheapest gas right now, sitting at around $2.72 a gallon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Arkansas may be sitting on a virtual gold mine. New research says there could be 19 million tons of lithium under the state's surface, the metal critical for rechargeable batteries. Companies are now racing to figure out ways to mine it. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is taking her message to Republicans and independent voters in Wisconsin. The vice president held an event in Brookfield Monday night. She appeared with Republican former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and conservative commentator Charlie Sykes. Both have endorsed the Democrat. They say Donald Trump is too dangerous. A public school administrator in Northwest Wisconsin is in big trouble with the law. Here's James Kelly.
Former Glenwood City School District Superintendent Tim Johnson is facing 17 felony charges, including theft, money laundering, forgery, and misconduct of office. He's accused of taking over $90,000 through his position as superintendent and not completing university classes for which he was given over $200,000. Johnson stepped down from his Chippewa Falls HR position earlier this year. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks open the NBA season tomorrow night on the road against the 76ers. Chris Middleton still rehabbing after surgery on both his ankles. Doc Rivers asked if he'd first like to see Middleton practice before he plays.
It would help, but I'm just going to play it by ear. You know, Chris has proven to me over the last year that when he comes back, he was 100% ready and he had no practices. So there are guys like that. I would say he'd be one of them. Would I like him to practice a couple times? For sure.
NFL, the Packers have the day playoff before preparing to play the Jaguars in Jacksonville Sunday. College football, Wisconsin hosts number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on Penn State's offense.
Part of their plan is to give enough exotic, crazy looks to get guys' heads spinning, to get them thinking rather than playing fast. Our strength the last couple weeks has been how fast we've played.
That's Badgers coach Mike Tressel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a sprinkle or two possible by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 70s today. Tonight, breezy, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, sunshine and a lot cooler with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, early voting starts in Wisconsin. Trump says all the geese are missing. Louisiana's Ten Commandments goes to court. Plus, overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 22nd. It's Tuesday morning, that means 14 days. Only 2 weeks left till Election Day, and it's a beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or watching us on social media. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Are you still watching TV? Because we gave up. We had to dip in just ever so briefly to take a look at a forecast, and I mean, by the third commercial, we were like, nope, we're done. We're done. We're catching up on our podcasts, all kinds of good podcasts you can hear through Civic Media. Two more weeks. We can do this. We got this. You can join the show at any point along the way at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number or you can text that number. Alicia, God bless you, up in Northeast Wisconsin, puts on YouTube, 14 days, let's go. So some folks, there are folks who are very, very hyped about this. I've just become old and crotchety that way. Let's head down to Radio Park in the beautiful Milwaukee metropolitan area where one Greg Bach is standing by at the new old facilities, or would that be the old new facilities of Radio Park, where Civic Media has put some more of its operations. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I would say it's a refurbished, re-envisioned, reliving of a classic.
Oh, I like that.
A reboot, if you will.
Yes, yeah. It was worthy of HGTV, you know, the fixer-uppers, where they take things and give them new life again.
And if I may take a moment, I huge shout out to our engineering team here at Civic Media who came into this. I mean, it's got a wonderful structure, and they came in and they revamped everything, took all the old stuff out, put new stuff in, and just made this place fantastic. And it's not even done yet. There's still stuff left to be done, but what they have done so far is wonderful, and all my thanks goes to them, our entire engineering team.
It's not done because, and I think Civic Media, if they ever consider a name change, should consider calling ourselves work in progress media, because there's just always something new we're doing here. It's a new studio, or we're wiring this, or we're acquiring that.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, but there's always work going on.
Heck
so
yeah.
Have to be very mindful of that. Coming up on the program this morning, we're changing seasons here, as you can tell, not just from the leaves, not just because Election Day is drawing near, but also on the sports calendar. We'll talk to Christina Lurie about how Fear the Deer season is here. It's also soup season, getting to be that time as well. Get your favorite soup and chili recipes ready. As far as, you know, talking about the Bucks, we will probably get on some kind of a tangent about alternate jerseys for the Bucks, the Brewers, and the Packers as well. So that's coming up later this hour. A little non-political content there for you. In our second hour, we're going to talk about how hospitals are in need of some TLC. Ailey Peterson is our guest from Western Wisconsin Health, a Baldwin-based hospital and clinic that has been stepping up its activity after the abrupt shutdowns this year of two Chippewa Valley hospitals and multiple clinic sites. We'll talk about the ongoing challenges of providing health care in rural areas, the worsening labor shortage, and what kinds of things can be done to improve the situation by whomever it is that wins the election 2 weeks from now. So they're going to have whoever wins. There's going to be a to-do list waiting for them. We'll see if they act on it. We'll see if they act on it, hastening to add that the current Republican-led legislature has been sitting on $15 million that could have helped the Chippewa Valley with the hospital shutdown situation and continues to not release the money. Remember, you can catch Courier Newsroom's podcasts on whatever pod platform you make your own. There's Vibes Only that comes out every Wednesday with co-hosts Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar, who talk to people about the stakes in this election, the very future of democracy being at stake. So go to where you get your podcasts and look for Vibes Only. Coming up on, quite the guest on Matt and Air on Air. I believe Greg Bach can tell us a bit more about this, but at 10:30, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, is going to be on because Derek Van Orden, we regret to inform you, has been doing Derek Van Orden things again. And in one case, Darren Von Ruden was one of the latest recipients.
Yeah, he went to go talk to the congressman and got an earful, and we're going to be talking to Darren Von Ruden. It's very hard
about
to give those two
Derek
names.
Derek Van Orden, yes.
We'll be talking today about, you know, we'll get into that, but we want to also talk more importantly about the Farm Bill itself, the struggles of Wisconsin farmers, nationwide farmers, and what they're looking for. You know, they're looking for a partnership. They're looking for help. They're not looking for anything special. They just want this Farm Bill to go through that should have went through last year. So yeah, we'll be talking to Darren Von Ruden at 10:33 this morning on Matt and Aaron. And that's going to be a very, very good discussion.
Yes. And Senate candidate Kristen Alfheim in the 11 a.m.
Yes.
hour. So tune in for that. I was running some errands yesterday, and I took I think it's now the, what's it, cliche video snippet with my phone of the Halloween shelves at Target. And how they're basically taking the shelves down and they're removing things from the Halloween shelves.
Oh, yeah.
And I pan over a little bit and there's all the Christmas stuff going up. Stop it. It's October 20 freaking second.
Oh, Pat, you're going to let it happen. You're going to let it happen because this is the Christmas machine.
So if you need some last minute Halloween stuff, No, you're going to be handing out Christmas candy to the kids instead, it appears. Why do we jump the gun like this?
I went to Pick and Save on a trick-or-treating day. I can't remember what day. I think it was when we were still living in Milwaukee. And I was like, oh, we're running out. I'm going to go just run really quick, get a bag of candy. I walked in and they were taking down all of the Halloween stuff and putting up Christmas. And when I got to the aisle, everyone stopped. We all stopped like deer in headlights, like I had caught them. And the big man, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm giving out Santa chocolates now.
Yes, that's it. I know. Alicia writes in on YouTube, yay, Christmas, the spooky people take over my last months of summer. Yeah, all of this stuff is all starting way too early. I mean,
to be fair, Alicia, the spooky people are kind of taking over the next 2 weeks of our election, too. So that's why we gotta get out and vote. Am I right? Yes. Hey-o!
Hey, that reminds me.
What?
It's Tuesday. It's October 22nd.
Yeah.
Early in-person voting begins today in Wisconsin. So this would be a great time for you to look up Dan Schaefer's 2024 voter guide at civicmedia.us and the Up North News voting guide at upnorthnewswi.com. All kinds of information on registration, voting basics, the many races that are out there. We've put up some new opinion pieces as well with people explaining, you know, why they're supporting this cause or this candidate. So check all those out at Civic Media and at Up North News WI. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Radio Park.
I like that. That's Thank my you. New so subtitle.
Go ahead.
So we had somebody text in yesterday, and we weren't able to properly explain it, so we didn't try on the air. But there's absentee voting, which is you can mail in your ballot. Mm-hmm. Absentee in-person voting is essentially early voting, correct?
That's early voting is what that
is. That's just another name for early voting.
Right.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure, because I couldn't find any website that just said those words.
Yes.
And I didn't want to say it on the radio, and then someone walks into their city clerk's office and like, no, you can't do blah, blah, blah. Who told you that? You know.
Well, because what you're doing is, if your absentee ballot is sent to you, then, you know, you need a witness to, you know, watch you do it, but not see who you voted for. Mm-hmm. And then sign the back of the envelope before you mail it back in. And that's all fine and good. I've done that several times. But what you can do is if you want to vote early, you're going in person to your clerk's office. And what you're filling out is an absentee ballot. You're filling out the same ballot, but you're putting it in an absentee ballot envelope. And then you're handing it to the clerk. And the clerk or somebody in the clerk's office is the witness in this case. And so you're doing both. You're filling out an absentee ballot, but you're voting early because it's right there in the clerk's office and it's going to count. And I always send away for my absentee ballot, and sometimes I mail it in, but other times, like today, I'm going to go shoot a little video about early in-person voting. Some years, I get it mailed to me so I can kind of fill it out at my leisure, or leisure, as some folks like to say.
Fancy.
Toities. Yeah, I know. And then I go to the town hall, and I use the Dropbox that's there, because Dropboxes are back, baby.
Yeah.
So if you got your absentee ballot mailed to you and you haven't mailed it back yet, you still can do that.
Yeah.
But you can also, while you're running errands, stick it in the local Dropbox instead, or even swing by your clerk's office and say, hey, I know you mailed this to me. I haven't done it yet. Could you be my witness? I'll do it right now. But by the way, in terms of right now, every local clerk, all 1,800 of them, they are the only true authority on elections in your municipality. Are you listening to me, Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney?
Yep.
The clerk is the boss of you, okay? And what I'm getting at is the clerk in each municipality sets the hours. And so you would do well to go to your town's website or, your city website or whatever. And I'm sure most, maybe not all, but have put information on the website saying, hey, we're going to be doing early voting at the town hall from, 10 to 3, Tuesday through Friday or something like that. So go look, because you don't want to go there and then not be able to vote. And if you want information on your local clerk's office, you can get there. All you got to do is put your address in to the Wisconsin Elections Commission website, myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. You put in your address. You can also, there's an option where you can put in your name and birth date. Make sure that you're registered or get registered. This is such an amazingly helpful website. It tells you what district you live in, because the maps have changed and you don't know necessarily if you're voting for the same legislator that you voted for before. So amazingly useful to do it. And we're still talking to candidates that might help you decide, which is why Kristen Alfheim is on with Jane and Greg a little bit later on today. And so if it sounds a little exciting, I know I started kind of down like, 14 days, we can't do this. But when I get to thinking about how early voting starts today, that makes me happy, because you can get that ballot in and you can be done. You don't have to pay attention to the commercials. You can just talk to other people about how important it is that they vote either early or on November 5th. All right, we'll talk about Vice President Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney and Charlie Sykes all on the same side now during their appearance in Waukesha County last evening. That's coming up in a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax.
on everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
All right, we're going to play a few cuts from a Bob Seger album today, and we'll tell you all about it coming up in today's history lesson in just about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. I mentioned the phone number earlier, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Don't forget, you can also use the Civic Media app or put a comment on Facebook or YouTube. We are on the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, and the Civic Media Facebook page if you'd ever like to watch what it is we say we do around here. Eric, were you, Eric Hovde is, Eric Hovde speaking again. Greg, were you able to get that little piece of audio that I mentioned I just saw? Just notice this. Do you remember, again, you didn't watch the debate, but you heard about Eric Hovde saying something about how, you know, he doesn't know anything about the farm. I think you've got the audio now. This is Eric Hovde taking a serious question on the farm bill, something every U.S. senator needs to be involved in.
Well, I'm not an expert on the farm bill because I'm not in the U.S. Senate at this point in time, so I can't opine specifically on all aspects of that.
Yeah, you can. you opine Jeez. On everything else.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to take time to learn about Wisconsin agriculture. Anyway, I bring this up because apparently he was on a right-wing radio show yesterday, and the quote from him was, "I'm supposed to have studied the farm bill?" I mean, he's doubling down on his ignorance,
oh my
basically.
Gosh.
I'm supposed to have studied the farm bill? You know.
We talked about this yesterday on Jane's show, and like, you don't have to be an expert, but you should know something. In all these days you've been campaigning for months and months, no one sat down with you in your kitchen and said, "Hey, here's the farm bill, from like the specificities of what's in it now to just the history of it, just so you have an idea about it." So you can, yeah. But this whole like, "I'm not an expert." Well, no one's asking you to be an expert. And it's this whole thing of like what Trump said, like, "Well, I can't tell you. I'm not the president. I can't tell you. I'm not the Senate, so I can't know anything. So I'm not in the Senate. I don't know anything. I'll know things." Yeah. It's like the Matrix.
Right. No, it doesn't make sense because, again, you can speak on all these things. Look, even Derek Van Orden, okay, he managed to get a plum assignment on the House Agriculture Committee and then did nothing with it. There's still no farm bill, but he knows enough to go on all these little farm trips where he notifies the local media. Yeah. And he gets all this fawning coverage of, "Oh, Derek Van Orden's listening to farmers," not doing a damn thing, but he's listening to farmers. And to be fair to Hovde, he went on to say in his answer, well, he said two things. First off, he said, and I'm not kidding, he used the word, literally every farm I see has a Hovde sign in it. And of course, Sherry and I both back at the TV go, literally, literally,
literally,
okay. Literally every farm has a Hovde sign. No, they do not. So that was his one thing that he said. And the other, he said, the farmers that I talked to, you know, they're very upset about the regulations. And I mean, we want clean water, but there's just too many regulations. Something like it always comes back to either, you know, cut taxes or cut regulations, those things that are safeguards for the environment and for employees and for customers. That's his idea of a farm bill. So if he were to get elected, that's what he would focus on, is eviscerating the rules and allowing more wealthy people to call themselves farmers by buying up a little land someplace. And again, not doing a thing about, you know, the family farms that are out there. Alicia writes in, she sees plenty of farms that have Baldwin signs. Yes, I can confirm that as well. So, I mean,
it's like she's endorsed by the farmers or something.
Tammy Baldwin was endorsed by the American Farm Bureau Federation, mm-hmm. or the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. The first time the Farm Bureau has endorsed a Democrat in 20 years. Over 20 years. Yeah. They didn't have to endorse Tammy Baldwin. They could have chosen to stay out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, no, we're endorsing Tammy. We're endorsing not Eric Hovde.
Yeah.
I mentioned early voting beginning today, and there are a few other folks who are excited about this. A guy named Tim Walz and a guy named Barack Obama. They will be at a rally in Racine later this evening after campaigning earlier in Madison. The rallies in Madison and Racine come in conjunction with the first day of early voting in Wisconsin. Obama and Walz are expected to take the stage around 1:30 in Madison, and then Walz continues on to Racine to deliver remarks at 6:45. No locations have been made public yet. Second gentleman Doug Emhoff will travel to Wisconsin or to Kenosha on Thursday to rally early voters. He's coming along with Maryland Governor Wes Moore and Vice President Kamala Harris's brother-in-law Tony West as part of that tour. All right, so we mentioned that Vice President Kamala Harris was in Waukesha, in Brookfield specifically, and was there with Liz Cheney and also with Charlie Sykes, who, you know, despite still being as conservative as they get, was one of the folks early on who said, after interviewing Donald Trump, this guy doesn't know anything. You know, he's just all bluster, and too many people are buying into the bluster. And don't buy into the bluster. You actually do need to have some operating brain cells to, you know, do a good job in public service. And he ain't got it. And so Charlie Sykes has been, you know, one of the never Trumpers, if you will, for some time, which makes it sound bad. I would just say Charlie Sykes is a traditional conservative and has not bought into the cult of personality. So he moderated this discussion where the Democrats are trying to persuade enough other conservatives to cross the aisle in order to prevent, you know, all of the things that Donald Trump would do, none of which would be good for the middle class. As Liz Cheney said in Brookfield, she wants somebody like Kamala Harris who will lead this country with a sincere heart. We might not agree on every issue, she said, but she is somebody that you can trust. She says she's been very troubled, deeply troubled, while she has watched what has happened in other states since the Dobbs decision that repealed Roe v. Wade. She said she considers herself to be pro-life. She does believe in abortion restrictions, but she says those abortion restrictions have gone way too far since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And taken in their totality, the Associated Press writes, her comments over the course of the day amounted to an extraordinary attempt to roll out the welcome mat for Republican voters to back Harris. And as Charlie Sykes said at the event, this is not a normal election. This is dogs and cats living together. It's a very strange moment. It's a very strange notion. But they also know that a few votes here and there in Waukesha County and elsewhere are the things that could lead the Harris-Walz ticket to victory. Christina Lori is here. We'll take a break from politics for just a few minutes. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wasota. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Calves are valuable no matter how you plan on using them, whether they're going to be replacement heifers or a beef animal. So how can you protect that investment in your own barn? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll talk about it next.
Spain and Portugal, that's where we're headed next. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to join us April 5th through the 17th for our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour. We'll start in Portugal, where we'll visit a stud farm and witness the process of creating cork. Then on to Spain, where we'll visit an Iberian pig farm and an olive grove. Find out more at holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel show. Or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure.
It may seem obvious, but barns and the animals who live there are full of bacteria. And while this is normal, there could be some negative implications for the youngest in your herd. Patrick LeCavalier is with a barn hygiene company out of Lodi. He recommends that farmers disinfect the calf itself right after it's born.
Calves are born in one place. And then once they're born, they're moved into a higher population area, whether it's pens or stalls or barns or hutches. And a lot of things are shed at birth where the cow is calved, and the calves can take those pathogens and bring them to the rest of the calves. And they have very low immunity when they're young, very low. So we can disinfect the calf when it's born. So any pathogens that are in the maternity area don't make it to where the population of calves are. So we break that chain.
Patrick LeCavalier says while these additional steps on the farm can be labor-intensive, it's worth it to have a healthy calf that turns into a productive member of the dairy herd. We'll take a look at our morning commodity markets next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. BaseLite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about BaseLite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Tuesday morning from Chicago, December corn is trading down 0.75 cents at 4.08¾. November beans are down 3¾ cents at 9.77¼. Cash wheat is down 4.5 at 5.67¾. And July 2025 new crop wheat is down 4 cents, trading at 6.05½. The November Class 3 milk contract is trading 14 cents lower at 20.75 a hundredweight, and the December contract is 32 cents lower at 20.76 a hundredweight. That's what's happening in the markets on a Tuesday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a sprinkle or two possible by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 70s today. Tonight, breezy, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, sunshine and a lot cooler with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Get out your notepaper and your pens and pencils, folks. I'm dropping all the voting tips and detailed logistics that you need to ensure that your vote counts this November 5th. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All right, welcome back. It's time for our weekly visit with Christina Laurie, our community editor. She puts together our daily newsletter. Have you signed up yet? Do you know where to go for that? I'll tell you, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
What do you mean you're doing great? Are you sure? Because I have it on good authority, given recent changes with the green and gold, that is it true that you are joining Sports Illustrated and the Madden NFL video game series as a budding jinx to sports athletes? Because I do recall you having a story about now former Green Bay Packer kicker Braden Narveson. And I thought, well, this kid's new. Let's see if he makes the cut. He did not make the cut. Christina, how much responsibility do you take for this?
I'll take full responsibility if someone answers me. But, you know, I do have to say, I actually got a funny message from someone the other day about Brewers predictions, because I had mentioned that Bryce Terang, I expect that he's not only going to win a gold glove, but possibly the platinum glove. So I think I'm going to throw this out here right now. If he wins the platinum glove, you heard it from me directly first, mark down the date. Because my predictions for the Brewers have been more spot on. Packers, not great. I feel bad for Narveson. I feel bad for his family. We did a whole story. What caught everyone's attention was that his girlfriend's family is from Wisconsin, so they're big Packers fans, and they were super excited that he was here. So I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're sad that it didn't work, but again, it may not have all been him. It may have been you, because what were you telling me before? Who is your team of choice otherwise?
I know, I was going to say, I don't have a good track record being a White Sox fan.
The White Sox, exactly. Another note from the stadiums out there, and a guy who's worked a lot of stadiums. I was very happy to see Brian Anderson sign up once again, renew his deal with TNT, and continue to call Brewers games in the next season as well. I just think he's such a talent, and I think Brewers fans, much as we'd love to have him for all 162, you know, we've got a pretty good one for those 50 games.
I was going to say, it's kind of a catch-22, because like, you want the best broadcaster, but then when you have the best broadcaster, they get pulled away from you
for
many games. But Brian Anderson, just for those who don't know, he has this awesome underdog story. So he started as a guy who was behind the camera before he was ever in front of it. In 91, he was an intern for the Spurs. Then he spent his first 3 years post-grad just doing camera work, being a broadcast technician. And I don't mean to say just. Those are incredibly important roles. Mm-hmm. But both of us, Pat, we used to work in TV, and there are two very different paths. They treat you differently when you're someone who's going to try to aspire for a career in front of the camera as opposed to behind it. So for him to make the transition is really incredible. And then he did so in 94. He started doing play-by-play for the AA team in San Antonio. And then in 27, as we all know, he jumped from the Golf Channel to the Brewers, and the rest is history. He's been sitting aside Rock for all those years doing a fantastic job. And part of his new contract, he's going to continue doing the Brewers. He does NCAA men's basketball. He does NBA broadcasts, but he's also adding, for the first time ever, the French Open.
Yeah.
It will be so interesting. I was curious, did they test him out? Like, they know what he can do.
They have to.
That's a totally different game.
Right. And you know what this also makes me think of is kind of a reverse jinx, that Bill Schroeder must be some kind of good luck charm in that booth, because he's been there for all these years. And you look at the play-by-play guys that he's had with the Brewers over the years, Jim Paschke, Matt Vasgersian, one of my favorites, Darren Sutton, who is just funny as all get out, Matt LaPay. There's just been all these great announcers joining Rock in the booth. And I don't doubt that if BA ever does decide to go someplace else, and if Schroeder stays put, they'll find another good one in there. In fact, I would actually like to hear Sophia Minert in the play-by-play chair for a game, because she's so outstanding on the field. I'll bet she'd be real talented calling the balls and strikes.
And I wouldn't be surprised in a few years if we possibly see Yelly in there, because his little stint
was
very good. I think former players, when they're good, they're really good in that role. But I couldn't help it. It also deserves some kudos to the Brewers organization for making this work for him, because as I mentioned, being a Sox fan, we actually had a similar situation last season. Our announcer, Jason Benetti, who was beloved, he'd only been there for like 6 or 7 seasons, but he was getting national calls and the Sox just didn't want to continue making it work. So he went to the Tigers and it was our loss. Fans were very angry.
Oh, yeah. As folks know, this past weekend when the Packers played at home, they had what was called a whiteout, you know, with these alternative jerseys, you know, and way too much white than I think belongs on most sports uniforms. But hey, marketing gig, it worked for me. I bought the white sweatshirt, you know, before going to Lambeau Field. Alternative jerseys, like them or not, Christina, are here to stay.
Well, also, I was going to lambast you a little bit. Don't be one of those guys who's like, oh, you know, the jerseys are terrible. How could they possibly do it? It's for one game. If you don't like it, turn off your TV and listen to it on the radio if it bothers you that much. But that being said, the Packers have a history of doing these alternative jerseys. Some are hits, some are misses. 1994 was a very ugly one, I thought. They went through like a phase where they were wearing tan pants.
Oh, that's right. The tan pants. Yes.
It really peaked at an all-time ugliest in 2001, Thanksgiving Day. They wore, at least it was bearable, in my opinion, when they wore a navy top and tan pants.
Wait, but you said Thanksgiving Day? Do you mean?
No. On Thanksgiving Day, they decided to wear white with tan pants.
Oh, you're talking about the Packers. Okay. I'm sorry. I had the Brewers on my mind. My mistake.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We're going through Packers alt jerseys because, it would be odd if the Brewers were playing on Thanksgiving.
I suddenly got to thinking about the Brewers City Connect jerseys. And of course, the Bucks have their Cream City ones. My mind just wandered off on all the different alternatives. And so to get Pat back on track here with the Packer ones, I know some people still feel very strongly about the times when they go back to the old blue and yellow, blue and gold
37
jerseys.
Throwbacks.
Yeah. And I mean, some people really like them. Some people like, no, that's, you know, those colors aren't ours. Why are we even touching those anymore? So you said in the beginning, if you don't like them, you don't like them. I like them for a game, but I would not want them to take that permanently.
Also, maybe if more fans knew about the history of those jerseys, those were hand selected by Curly Lambeau himself after the team won the 36th NFL championship for the following season. So, I mean, you can't top tradition there. It's cool for a few games a season. The only one that I would like to never see return that is historical, but I just think it's awful, is in 2010 and 2011, they wore brown helmets. And they were trying to make it look like the old-timey leather helmets.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't look like that. It looked like brown on a helmet, which were not the Browns. So
right, yeah, and it was paired with the blue and gold unis. Looking at a picture of Aaron Rodgers in the blue and gold jersey with a brown helmet, the chocolate milk color, and no, it just didn't work. But again, the whole point of doing this is it does work for some folks, however small a sliver that is. And if those folks go out and pay a little money to get something, well, then it was, you know, an experiment in marketing that was, you know, made a winner out of somebody.
Well, and they did have, I thought the biggest winner was the 2021 to 23 Kelly Green 50s jerseys. It was just, you know, a ton of green as you'd expect and just yellow letters. I thought it was very classic and I would have bought some of that merch, but I was still pretending. My main allegiance was to the Bears at that point. I hadn't been here long enough.
Well, let's get over to the Bucks then, because the NBA season for them does start tomorrow in Philadelphia, and then they have their home opener coming up this Friday against your Chicago Bulls. What are you thinking about the start of the season here?
They do. So the last time they faced the Bulls was just a week ago. They played them for a Monday night preseason game. And so this, I know we've been talking a lot of sports here, but the thing about sports that I find so interesting is really always goes beyond the game. You know, it's not about who wins or loses. Giannis, of course, for all of the accolades he has on the court, I argue that I am a bigger fan of his because of how he conducts himself off the court. And what he did after that Bulls preseason game is just the perfect epitome of that. He, you know, after most games, he stays late to sign autographs for little kids and take pictures with them. And these two little brothers walked up to him. They couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 years old. The oldest, the youngest was probably 2. And they just walked on over to him and they said, you know, Giannis, can we have a picture? And he said, of course. And, you know, he takes the photo with them and he goes, I have something for you. And he takes off the shoes that he was wearing that game, signs both of them and gives them to the brothers and tells the older one, make sure you watch over your younger brother. And they're just like staring at him. And they're so amazed. And you could tell, you could see the wheels in Giannis's head turning. And he also then proceeds to remove his jersey, sign that, and give that to the brothers as well, and jokes with them that he always had problems sharing as a brother, so he didn't want to make them have to share the pair of shoes. Sure. So one got the shoes, one got the jersey. But, I mean, it's such a small act, and you don't see that happen as frequently as it should for players in Giannis's position.
Yes.
So it's just incredible that more than, I mean, I think he's starting his 12th season here. Mm-hmm. And still after all of that, he acts that way.
Yeah, that is one of the nice things about the season starting, as we get to watch him in action and then be reminded of what he's like off the court as well. All right, you've all waited long enough. What are Pat and Christina thinking about for food stories here? And we're going with soup because, again, we're switching seasons. So let's head into soup season.
And in Wisconsin, soup season means beer cheese soup season, pretty mm-hmm. much like goes without saying. Why not combine our two specialties to one warm, delicious bowl? And I looked through Yelp. I was just trying to find the best places to get it across the state. And I came up with the 4 top options. So I'm just going to share them with you in case you're in any of these areas. And I always want to put out the stipulation that when I suggest things that are highest rated on Yelp, Yelp does favor businesses that get more reviews. So small towns are always overlooked. So of course, your little neighborhood hole in the wall probably has better beer cheese soup than these places. Yep. But these are the most highly recommended places in bigger cities.
Okay.
So the first is in my town of Madison, the old fashioned. I can attest this beer cheese soup is fantastic. They top it with popcorn on top. Absolutely phenomenal. Milwaukee Brat House in Milwaukee. That's made with IPA fresh from the Lakefront Brewery right down the road. So that's super fresh and delicious as well. Then if you're in Green Bay, the place right by Lambeau, 1919 Kitchen and Tap, that I know that it just probably draws a lot of tourists as well. Their food is phenomenal. So don't sleep on that place. And then the last one is a place called Buzzard Billy's in La Crosse. Have you been
there? Oh, yes. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I have to hit that almost every time I go there. Very good place.
Yes. And these are all very different beer cheese soups. You know, one is topped with popcorn. A lot are topped with shredded cheese. There's some are topped with croutons. Some are topped with bread. I'm always all about the carb that goes with the soup. So that's what draws me.
What about you? Because beer cheese soup is not the kind of thing that I think most people make. It's what you get when you're going out to a supper club or a restaurant. But do you have a particular soup that you like to make, or chili as we head into the winter season?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned chili, because chili is probably my go-to. It was really big in my family. My grandpa was actually a chef in the Marines, and he says that he makes the best chili in the world. So he taught me his recipe, and he tells me that I make it wrong and mine is never going to be any good because I use turkey instead of beef.
Oh yes. Okay. I see.
So to him, that's just the biggest sin possible, but I believe it's delicious both ways. And then I've also added just my little secret ingredient. I feel like everyone needs to make a dish their own a little bit. I love sweet potatoes. So I always roast a sweet potato, dice it on the side, and then I add it kind of like at the last minute. I told you I'm all about those carbs.
Right.
That's just some extra crunch, a nice carb, and it adds like a nice sweetness. And sometimes I feel like chili can be really heavy, but if you add more vegetables, you can kind of just eat a larger portion of it.
There you go.
Which I'm all about too.
All right. There's,
what about you?
There's your tip for the season. Whatever I can make in my Instapot. I make chili in there, beef, vegetable. I've made a tortilla soup in there. There's no end of ways that I have used that thing, and I just enjoy it so much. And it is definitely soup season for that little Instapot. Christina Laurie, thanks so much. As always, have a great day.
You too.
We'll have today's history lesson next. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Well, that doesn't take you back to a time. This is Bob Seger's title track from an album that came out this day in 1976. Bob Seger's Night Moves album also spun off other singles like Main Street, Fire Down Below, and Rock and Roll Never Forgets. We'll hear more about that coming up. This is today's history lesson at 6:52 on Up North News Radio. We mentioned yesterday Taylor Swift album and a streaming record that she broke, and the previous record had been from her album Red. Well, it was that album, Red, her fourth studio album, that was released this day in 2012 with hits like this. It's one of those, it's a catchy little tune, and the moment you try to use any of that language, a guy like Greg Bach will, you know, if I would say we're never ever 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 ever, he'd say, Pat, please stop, you're too old to be using those lyrics.
I feel like you put your not feeling comfortable being of the youth on me to criticize you. I say let it fly, man. Be you. Live your life. Be happy.
There, I Knew Your Trouble was the other big single off the album. On this day in 1966, the Supremes became the first ever girl group with a number one album. The album was called Supremes A Go-Go, as everything was called back then. The number one song this day in 1965 was by the Beatles.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away.
A couple of years earlier, 1962, it was on this day that President John F. Kennedy, after counsel from former President Dwight Eisenhower, announced to the public that American reconnaissance planes had discovered Soviet nuclear weapons in Cuba and that he had ordered a naval quarantine of the communist nation. It all ended well in the end, but that was by no means guaranteed the Cuban Missile Crisis that started this day in 1962. when I first saw the birthday list today, I was like, I don't know. Can I get Shaggy on there somehow? Because It Wasn't Me isn't necessarily, you know, great family radio music. But then I forgot about one of his earlier hits as Shaggy, born Orville Burrell. Yeah, Shaggy was the better way to go. Turns 56 today. See, this is where, again,
Shaggy.
Time just goes so fast. I can't believe he's 56 years old. But the two-time Grammy winner is a U.S. Marine. He's a Gulf War veteran. He's been married for 10 years. He has 5 kids. And his big activity nowadays is raising a ton of money for a children's hospital back home in Jamaica. And I love that voice. He said he perfected that voice while he was serving in the Marines. He was practicing it all the time. And I absolutely love it. I just, whenever I hear people that can do something so distinctive with their voice, this very nasally sounding guy is insanely jealous.
I just imagine Pat, I miss her, love her.
Yes. See, that's what I'm talking about. Jeff Goldblum is 72 years old today. Bob Odenkirk is 62 years old today. Former Brewer pitcher Corbin Burns is 30 today. On this day in history, I love this one. On this day in 1966, 7-year-old Weird Al Yankovic, I don't think he was called Weird Al at the time, 7-year-old Al Yankovic had his first accordion lesson. His parents had rented the instrument after being persuaded by a door-to-door salesman.
His story is awesome.
I know. I just love it. I saw him kind of early on. He was playing at Valley Fair. I was working there. It was one of my summer jobs in the early 80s. It was a lot of fun. On this day in 2002, Christina Aguilera did a pretty good job of shedding the wholesome pop starlet image when she took full control of her new album and released it on this day, 2002. The album was stripped with singles that include Fighter. There was, of course, Dirty and Beautiful, a powerful song about self-acceptance on that album as well. We'll hear Beautiful a little bit later on. On the National Day calendar, this is National Caps Lock Day. I'm sorry, let me say that properly. This is National Caps Lock Day! In case you feel like shouting at somebody and just want to turn the caps lock on your keyboard.
That was really funny.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's International Stuttering Awareness Day. It's National Nut Day. I assume the snack, not the person. And this is Scar Appreciation Day.
Like the character from The Lion King?
No. I think this is more the medical, post-surgical condition.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And, you know, those kinds of things are not... you don't get to normally choose those. So I've got a couple from a burst appendix.
Yeah.
And it actually required 3 surgeries and a month in the hospital.
My
because
goodness.
it had burst, it had become infected, the infection had spread. Yeah, so I've got 3 lovely looking scars down here. It really put an end to my hopes to be a Chippendales dancer and a Victoria's Secret model for male swimwear. So.
But you could be a dancer at the new Gentleman's Club Chippa Waffles opening just down the street from your house, Pat.
That's
now
right.
Hiring.
Yes. So there's a few scars around this well-worn body. What about you? Do you ever have like stitches or surgeries or anything where you've got something you want to share with the class?
No stitches, no broken bones, no surgeries. Any scar I have are just like little, from cuts as a kid, but nothing.
Nice.
No, like I'm going to pull like my shirt and be like, I got this one back in 74.
Yeah, nope.
Got into a bar fight with a...
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is a candidate for State Senate District 18. Kristen Alfheim will be here. We'll wrap everything up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you.
they take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.